How do you do? I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Who hasn't felt that way at some point in life? Having grown up in the Great Depression, the woman in this story felt that way many times, but she persevered because a good word from a friend encouraged her. All the more after her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
I'll get him. Call the fire department.
You kids, come on. Get outside. Run. Run.
This is Unshackled, the award-winning series of true life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people know the way to places that offer temporary shelter or food, but few know the way to turn their lives around. Those who come to Pacific Garden Mission learn that way. They receive more than shelter and food, more than a safe place to sleep and fresh clothing. Resident guests also receive medical and dental care in the Mission Clinic, all without charge, thanks to friends who send financial gifts. Mission guests find the way out of their hopeless condition as pastors and counselors share the truth that makes them free. And the truth that they are made to be the head and not the tail, to walk in light, not in darkness. And those who follow that way guide others to the way, the truth, and the life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3257 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
The canned food is probably ruined, Elsa.
I know. The kitchen was so beautiful after you painted it and put in new wallpaper. Look at it now, black and sooty.
Looks like a war zone. Nothing left.
What are we going to do, Bert?
What else? Pick up the pieces and carry on.
What pieces? We have to start with nothing again.
I've been there before. Look at that. The boys' new sheepskin coats, completely melted.
Lorraine is still crying because her rabbit burned up.
She'll lose more than that before she's dead and gone.
At least we all got out alive. But why do so many bad things happen to us? One thing after another.
The woman in our story was a child then, but events like this shaped her life. Though her story is true, we're calling her Lorraine. This is her true testimony, right now on Unshackled.
I was born at the start of the Great Depression, when we were rich, when we had a new home and a new car. We lived in Indiana, where Dad was an interior decorator, which meant he painted and wallpapered houses. But when people couldn't pay for his decorating services, they paid him with chickens, pigs, cows, even a piano and a sewing machine. Dad loved to farm, so we always had a truck patch, growing vegetables to eat and sell. Dad also ran a grocery store, but there was a problem.
I had to close the store today. I couldn't buy any more supplies, and the shelves were bare.
Well, I'm not surprised. You gave all the food away.
No one has money to pay me, Elsa. I might as well give it away.
I don't know if you're soft-hearted or soft in the head, Bert.
Tomorrow I'm going with a bunch of guys to the country. We're going to haul some food into town to help feed people.
Don't forget your own family.
Some people are starving, Elsa.
How do you guys intend to pay for that food?
We'll trade whatever we can, whatever we have. At least I know how to butcher.
Just don't you be trading my hats.
Both my parents were part Indian, and Mom looked her part. Dad was 6 feet tall and thin, always working at something. Mom taught me many things about life, including home remedies, since we were poor. Most of her remedies worked. Mom could always find a substitute for what we needed without going to town to purchase goods. My parents sent us kids to church with neighbors, but they didn't go because they were from different church backgrounds. Dad was mostly happy, going around singing. but he harbored a temper that he often turned loose.
Your dad's always been a generous man, Lorraine. During the war, when the flu epidemic hit, he took care of his helper, instead of letting him go to the hospital where people died.
How did Daddy help that man?
Fed him chicken noodle soup.
Dad said the Klansmen tried to tar and feather him.
Yes, before we were married. His nickname was Slim then, because he was thin as a rail. The Klan didn't like the people he hung around with, so they locked him in a shed with a dirt floor. While they went out to get the tar and feathers, he dug under the door, squeezed out, and got away.
They didn't have the right to do that.
Oh, people always try to convert you to their way of thinking. But remember, God is watching everything you do.
Look, Dad's home.
He's early.
I didn't get lunch today. Where's my supper?
Dad threw Mom's water all over the floor, and from then on, she made sure she had supper ready when he came home. Sometimes Dad scared me. Once when my little brother spilled his milk, Dad threw a board across the table at us. Then he yanked the tablecloth off with the food and dishes. I ran and hid in the cornfield. Mom said he was angry because people didn't pay him. My two younger brothers were wrestling one day when Rusty, the older one, jumped on Arlen, the younger one, breaking Arlen's femur. The doctor set his bone using clamps, and several months passed.
Yeah?
Bert, I have bad news.
What now?
When they took the clamps off Arlen's leg, it broke again.
What?
It split from the knee to the hip.
What are they going to do?
Oh, put him in a cast up to his waist on both legs with a bar in the middle.
Well, how's he going to walk?
Oh, he won't. He'll be in the hospital for quite a while, so I'll stay with him.
It's all Rusty's fault. Horsing around like that, he had no business jumping on Arlen.
It took a year for my brother to heal. I had my share of accidents, too. Once, while playing in the haystack, a pitchfork punched through my foot. My cousins had to carry me to the house where Dad drove me to the doctor. Dad taught all of us kids how to drive when we were five. He insisted we graduate from school, and he expected us to work from the age of nine, earning money in the fields.
How much money did you get, Lorraine?
None of your business.
You better not hold any back or Dad'll be mad.
I need a new pair of shoes.
You know what happened to Rusty when he kept some money back.
It isn't right, Dad taking all our money.
He has to buy our food.
And then he gives food to the neighbors. Well, what about us?
You better watch your mouth. Here he comes.
How much money did you make today, Lorraine?
Here. I need new shoes, Dad.
You'll get them when it's your turn. What about you, Louie?
Here you go, Dad.
The rest of you kids hand over your money. Every last dime.
There were seven of us kids. We worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week at 50 cents an hour. After working in the fields all day, Mom and I cooked supper, and after we ate, Dad would say, "Lorraine, dishes." I almost hated to eat. We had a big coal stove in the living room, and we kids used to walk along the railroad tracks picking up fallen coal to heat our house. After I graduated from high school, I worked in a factory sewing blue jeans. Mom was working there, too, as an instructor. I saved my money and bought a new car.
Nice car, Lorraine.
I take the girls at work to Bass Lake almost every night, since I go there anyway to work my second job.
What do they do while you work?
Sit there and listen to music. They don't mind putting nickels in the jukebox all night, but they gripe about giving me 10 cents for gas.
Oh, people are selfish. You have to be firm, Lorraine.
I don't want to be poor.
It's better to be poor than to steal.
Mom, I'm thinking about getting my own place in town.
I think you should. It's time you were independent.
Dad will probably have a fit.
Don't worry. I'll back you up.
When I moved out, Dad sent the police to bring me back home, but as soon as they determined I was over 18, they left. I allowed one of my brothers to borrow my car, and he didn't bring it back, so I went home to get it, and Dad chased me away. I had to get the police to help me. Dad was still trying to control my life. I was 19 when I met Bobby, who came into the cafe where I worked my second job at night.
You're the hardest working girl I ever met, Lorraine, holding down two jobs.
I've worked hard all my life, Bobby. At least now I get to keep the money. Before, Dad always took it.
He thought he could spend it better than you, huh?
Apparently.
I work on the high lines as a pole climber.
The electric lines?
Yep.
You must be very brave.
Well, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to have your own equipment. We travel to other states sometimes.
Cool.
Can I buy you a drink, Lorraine?
Oh, I don't drink. Dad told us to pour alcohol down the drain instead of down our throats.
What a waste.
Bobby had been married before and was paying child support, so I should not have become involved with him. But I didn't know that he drank excessively, and I thought he would quit. We dated on weekends for a year before we married, even though both of our families disapproved. He moved in with me. He borrowed my new car to go to work in Michigan and Illinois and wrecked it. On New Year's Eve, while I was at church, Bobby got drunk and tore up the apartment.
What's that?
Some meat for supper. Where's the refrigerator?
They came and took it away today.
Why?
They said you weren't making the payments.
That's not true. I've been putting quarters in the slot on top all the time.
That's what they said.
They had no right to do that. I know I put quarters in that thing. When I realized that Bobby had picked the lock and taken the quarters to buy liquor, I was devastated. I developed chest pains, thought I was having a heart attack, and quit my job. A doctor said I had pleurisy, so I got another job in a factory. I was in for a rough time because I didn't believe in divorce.
We'll hear the conclusion of Lorraine's story in just a moment. Life is not easy in troubling times, and we get many prayer requests from listeners. Pray for our marriage to be healed. Pray for my son, who is mired in drugs. Pray for a job, for a home, for relief from this pain, this fear of the future. We not only pray for these requests, but we also send them along to our prayer band. Listeners like you who volunteer to spend time on their knees, praying for God's will in each situation. His will is perfect. So if you have some need for which you'd like prayer, write and tell us. You can go to our website, www.unshackled.org, and submit a request, or email us at unshackled@pgm.org. If you would like to be a prayer warrior with us, let us know, and we'll send you petitions once a month. For more information, or to request prayer, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Our first son, Robbie, was born, and I kept working because Bobby rarely did. Sometimes he worked a few weeks or months, then he'd sell his equipment to buy alcohol. Our second son, Ralph, was born. Bobby stayed home and took care of the boys until his mother ridiculed him, insisted he do a man's work. Where'd you get the beer?
Mom brought it.
She knows you're trying to quit drinking.
Well, she knows I like it.
Bobby!
She wants me to go back to my occupation. Enough of this babysitting.
You sold your equipment, remember?
You'll have to buy me what I need and bring my union dues up to date, too.
It'll have to wait until payday. I had to send some money to the IRS for your back taxes.
You can borrow it from the bank.
I was under his mother's and his thumb.
Bobby was a good husband and father when he was sober, but when he was drunk, he was mean. He beat me several times, sending me to the hospital. 5 years into our marriage, I was pregnant for the third time when his mother suggested I get baptized in case something happened to me. I'd gone to church often because I loved the singing, but now I listened attentively to the sermons.
In John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You see, even the faith to believe comes from God. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you want to receive the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness and eternal life, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask God to save you. He will give you His Holy Spirit and a new life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
It was hard for me to understand how the Holy Spirit could live in me, but I started reading the Bible and kept going to church. And one day, I realized I couldn't see the air either, but it was the first thing I needed when I was born. That insight opened my heart and understanding. As the months passed, I grew in knowledge of God's Word, repented of my sins, and was born again. I began teaching Sunday school every week, and God's truth sustained me. Our daughter Dawn was born, and a few years later, a third son, Doyle. Bobby's drinking continued.
Lorraine! What happened?
Bobby's drunk, and he tried to beat me up, so I ran.
Oh, I'm glad your dad never drank.
I sure didn't know what I was getting into when I got married.
Your dad tried to stop your marriage, you know.
Yes, but I thought Bobby would change.
God gave you parents for a reason, Lorraine.
Bobby's mother wants us to sell a house and build a new one on some land next to her. She gave us an acre, but I don't want to do it. Our house is almost paid for.
You pay the bills, Lorraine. You ought to have a say in this.
Bobby's mother controls him. She buys him liquor to get him drinking every time he quits.
What happened to the gas station she bought him?
He didn't pay the bills and lost it. Spent everything on alcohol.
Well, I can't tell you what to do, Lorraine.
I don't believe in divorce, Mom.
Your life is worth more than that new house.
We sold the old house and built a new one on the property Bobby's mother gave us. What a mistake that was. When I had the new house almost paid for, Bobby's mother wanted me to sign it over to her other son to pay off his GI loan. This time, I refused.
You're going to sign that note.
No, I'm not. I make the loan payments, not you or your mother.
Well, she gave us the land. She's done everything for us.
I pay the bills.
You ungrateful witch.
You sold my pony, my saddle, and my piano to that bartender for $60. You call me ungrateful?
My mother borrowed money to set me up at the gas station. The note is due.
No way.
You're going to sign, or else...
I ducked into the bathroom and locked the door, but Bobby began taking the door off the hinges. I escaped and took my four children to Mom's house. Bobby followed me, drunk and crying, and this lasted 9 more years. We eventually moved into a trailer nearby while I got a divorce. A battered woman. We had been married 18 years. I had been working in an industry that made castings for airplane and helicopter engines, even the space shuttle. I was a radiograph interpreter.
I began working on a Bachelor of Science degree at a university, taking one class every semester. The company paid my tuition. After my divorce, I began dating Les, an engineer at work.
You know, you have good kids, Lorraine. They do their chores without complaining.
They can be pistols. One time when the boys were little, they locked themselves in the car and played with the cigarette lighter. The car was full of smoke, and I was on the verge of breaking a window when they finally unlocked the car door.
Well, fire is scary.
I know. Twice my family had house fires, and I hope I never see another one.
Have you thought any more about my proposal?
You've never been married, Les. Are you sure you want the responsibility of a ready-made family?
I'm sure.
Then how about next year in June? My youngest son, Doyle, nearly 11 then, took the papers outside to burn them one night while my 15-year-old daughter washed the dishes. We had an old barrel outside the barn, and some of the burning embers blew into the barn and caught the hay on fire. By the time I arrived home, the barn had completely burned down. What happened?
I'm sorry, Mom. Some sparks blew into the hay. I couldn't put out the fire. It was too big. So I ran and got Dawn. She got the neighbor, Mr. Wilson.
I tried to get the camper out, but it was too late. The bicycles, lawn furniture, everything was burning.
Are you all right, Doyle?
Yes.
I was going to set up the old wood stove behind the barn to burn papers.
It's too late now.
At least no one was hurt. A year later, my father died. He had been retired for more than 10 years. That summer, Les and I married, and I learned how a good marriage works when both people work hard together to build a family. 2 years later, my mom had a stroke. We in the family took care of Mom, and she did well. I was still working on my degree, taking care of my family and teaching Sunday school every week, but I would sit with Mom in the evening and try to study.
Remember when you kids used to ride the pig?
Yeah, we couldn't afford real toys, but the pig didn't seem to mind.
And the time we couldn't afford dog food, and your dad's dog went and killed the neighbor's sheep so she could feed her puppies.
I remember. And the neighbors came and found the sheep's wool in the dog's teeth, and they took her away.
Oh, your dad cried and cried.
Hard to imagine Dad crying.
He had a soft heart, Lorraine.
I know, Mom. I can see now that he did all he could to take care of us.
Yes. He took your money so he could buy food. Remember the cyclone that hit one summer and blew away the pump house?
We had the potatoes buried there for winter.
Well, at least the canned food in the cellar was spared.
I remember we canned 400 quarts of corn one year.
And that winter, they all blew their lids. Bang, bang, bang.
I was only 5, but I felt so sad that all that work was for nothing.
You were a big help to me.
Kids today don't know anything about sacrifice. They get everything handed to them.
Well, we sure didn't. We had to work hard for everything.
I don't take my kids' money when they work. They're saving for college.
Good.
I didn't even own a doll. My daughter had one, and she still has it. Her daughter has dozens.
Well, every generation of children have it easier and easier.
Where will it end?
Well, you teach Sunday school. What does the Bible say about that?
Proverbs chapter 30 has a lot to say about that. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness, meaning their sins are not washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, I hate to think of Jesus hanging on the cross.
He's not on the cross, Mom. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming again. That's a promise. My husband Les took me on a trip around the world. On 21 flights, we visited 16 countries. What a contrast with the hard life I had. I call them the rough old days. But God's grace brought me into the sunshine. I earned my Bachelor of Science degree when I was 59 years old. 2 years later, my mom died, and Bobby died 3 years after her.
At least he had stopped drinking.
Don wants to pay for his funeral.
Yeah, it's her father. I understand.
She has a soft heart, like my dad.
You raised her well.
She knows the Lord, that's for sure. And that's the most important legacy you can leave your children.
Do you think that's what the Bible means in Proverbs, where it says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children"?
I always thought that referred to wealth, but maybe you're right. There's no greater wealth than eternal life in heaven.
Amen.
Les and I have been married 40 years now. I'm 83, and God has given me lots of grandchildren and great-grandchildren to brighten my old age. The Lord Jesus has been with me through the hard times and the good. His word is my strength. I taught Sunday school every week for 50 years, and I hope someday to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do you have that expectation too?
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Listening friend, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." If you have never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no better time than now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you need help in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3257. Heard in the true story of a woman called Miss Lorraine were Marcy Mancotti, Dave Kappas, Joanne Silvestrak, B.F. Hellman, and Art Fox. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.